May these words be...
Oh, we're going to sing this now? No.
You're supposed to say this now. Go ahead. Very good, Kathy. Thank you. May these words be to God's glory. Most of our lives are predictable. Maybe you always knew what you wanted to be. Maybe you wanted to be an engineer or a teacher or a minister. All I ever wanted to be was a singer. A minister was out of the question since in my youth women could only be nuns. And I wasn't Catholic, so that was out of the question. That gave me a lot of freedom in high school, I will tell you. Anyway, as we grow, there's a kind of reality that creeps in. The need to make a living and support a family helps us turn into more reasonable direction. Sometimes we're surprised or disappointed. Sometimes we're confused or worried. Often we're unprepared for these changes. Changes that can be caused by necessity, by the actions of others, or by a big revelatory change in ourselves. These changes can be good and they can be bad. Most of us, all of us, have struggled with big changes. Some have been glorious and difficult. Some have brought us to new lows and we never thought we knew what would come next. No idea how we might react in light of these changes. This is where Jesus can help us. Maybe not the intellectual Jesus of all our reading, but the loving comfort we remember from when we were first introduced to this loving brother who holds our hand. And this is the Jesus we must turn to when we think of September 11th. It's been hard not to be affected by the bombing of the Twin Towers, even if we were not in New York City at the time. Our freedoms as Americans have changed since that day. Everywhere from airports to the way we look at each other has changed. American Muslims are suspect, even though in our hearts we know that the acts of terror against this country had nothing and have nothing to do with religion. We must remember that most Nazis were Christians, and we don't villainize all Christians, do we? We see Nazism as an aberrant political movement, and we condemn those who follow that awful way of belief. I think we also need to see what's going on in our nation and our world under this whole rubric of terrorism in the same light, if there is any light when we talk about this. No act of violence against another has anything to do with God. No act of violence against another has anything to do with God or religion. Period. It's people who have gone astray. People who use religion as an excuse to hide behind. We all know if we were born by that point, 15 years ago, some of you weren't even born yet, but we all know where we were, or somebody will remind us where we were or what was happening. I remember when my grandson was a baby. He was 3, and we tried to keep the news from him, and we turned it off every time it came on. And then that evening, I watched him playing with blocks, and he built some towers, and he took a toy airplane, and he knocked them down. We didn't even think he heard it. So we had lots of talking to do with him about what he was doing, and he didn't even know. It didn't relate to what he had somehow heard from somebody. It's part of our DNA now, what has happened to us. And we all know, I know where I was. I was on vacation having a wonderful time, and my son was at Cherry Point in North Carolina in the Marine Corps. And we couldn't get a hold of him because all bases get locked down in times of national emergency. And I couldn't talk to him for 3 days. I had no idea where he was, had they shipped him, and eventually they did ship him. September 11th changed our lives, and to ignore it or to not talk about it today, I think is a mistake. It's also a mistake to make a big, overblown, depressing moment when we recognize that we're still here, we're still actively moving forward in God's name, and we are doing what we can. I think some of the changes that have happened as a result of September 11th, 2001 have shown us the best of human behavior. So much good has come out of this evil. So many people have stood up and are willing to stand up for others. There are so many who are continue to be hurt by this, not just because they've lost loved ones, because the rescuers to Ground Zero now have very serious health problems. People were willing to put themselves at risk. I remember, do you remember how everybody drove their cars with more courtesy? In the grocery store, people were kind. People came to church. It's true. For about 3 weeks, people came to church. This is the lens we can look through when we look at what God wants from us. For the rest of our lives, I will know that life isn't easy, and God knows life isn't easy. God knows the best way to remember that we are loved by the power that created us is the same God. The ultimate power is the same love taught by Buddha, by Moses, by Muhammad, by Jesus Christ. We must never forget that. We choose to be Christians. We plant our feet in Christianity. But it is the same God that loves all of God's children as ourselves, we are called to love each other. I think that this day cannot be forgotten, and it is not forgotten in our lives, and every one of you could tell me a story that you have to share. But I want to move away just a tiny, no, I want to move away a big bit now from our history, which we can never forget, and we have to share and teach our children, as difficult as it is. We also have to talk about changes. And there are big changes happening here. As you know, next Sunday is my last Sunday. I am not leaving because of you. You're terrific. You're absolutely terrific people. I've loved being in ministry with you and learning your stories and talking to you and finding new ways to think myself as a person and as a minister. It's the difficulty of finding housing that has gotten me. And I have to say that everyone in church tried so hard to give more money and more money and more money so I could stay here, but it wasn't right. The church can't pay that kind of money for me. So I have made some decisions. I am moving on. It's taken me 9 months to find a new call, so it wasn't easy. But I have some things I want to share with you. I am not leaving you alone. Is that right? I have made, and we have made, some fairly radical, unusual decisions in the life of the church. And as the Northern California Conference of the UCC says, well, yeah, that Campbell, they like to make their own rules. I'm not here to say we're making our own rules. I'm saying we're working within the rules, but we're also going to try something new that I hope might be a model for others. So I'd like to invite Lauren to come forward. We have some time now that I want you to ask us some questions. I met Lauren soon after I came here. She was one of the three or four of you, three, that became members while I practically first arrived, and I was fortunate to get to know you. And when my call came in, I decided that I would ask Lauren if she would do me a favor. Would she step in for a few months, if we could get everybody to agree to it, would she step in for a few months and be a placeholder? This isn't an official clergy term, but it's
a holy placeholder.
One I made up, and she said, I'll think about it. And then she texted me back, and she said, I've talked to my husband, and yep, we're all for it. So then we talked to council, and we've talked to the conference. So we're not doing this under a cloud. We're doing this right out in the open. We also have started a process called New Beginnings. Some of you have been part of that. Some of you have come and shared. Oh, Henry's just about had it.
Sorry, bud.
Many blessings, Laura. I've been there. I remember a sermon once where I did it with a child on my hip. And she wanted to make noise, and I said, no, the only way you can stay here is if you're quiet. So she was quiet for 20 minutes, so that was pretty good.
That's pretty good for yeah.
Yep.
Not bad.
But I realize that you don't know Lauren like I know her. You have no idea where she's come from. You also have no idea really where I'm going or what I'm doing. So I thought we would stand in front of you and be available for questions. Are there, if you have any questions you want to ask, oh my gosh, Chuck Stevens first. You got to watch out for him.
Oh, he's, here he comes.
He all likes right. to speak truth. All right, let's
Ready.
Hear it.
Thank you.
So I've got one question for you. Do you agree to lead this church in inspiration of patience, love, and kindness?
Yes. Yes.
This is not an ordination, but yes. Okay. We're not there yet, but yes. Very good,
Chuck.
That's
a very good question. I like the accountability, and I like the, all right, let's do this kind of nature of that. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Good for you.
Just so you guys know, some of you don't know this, I did go to seminary. I graduated in 2013. I led a small church in Atlanta. I've done a couple of units of pastoral care at various hospitals. So this is not like a brand new thing for me. Blair did not just go, hey, that parishioner looks like she might be able to lead a church. That's not what happened. So I have been training for this for a while, and I expect to learn a lot. I expect it to be challenging in ways that I can't anticipate, but I also expect it to be an amazing experience. You guys are a great congregation that's really ready to move forward with the Spirit and really, really make some make something good happen. So I'm very excited. So.
Lauren is also in discernment with our congregation. A lot of people don't know what that means. You just sort of say, can I be in discernment? And the council says, sure. And everybody goes, what's that mean? So Lauren is in the process of preparing herself for ordination. Some of the stuff you'll hear today and next Sunday might be the differences between what it is to be ordained and to be a holy placeholder.
Licensed is the word.
That's
yeah.
True. Lauren goes to church and ministry section
A
on the 21st of October to be licensed to have the privilege to do communion. That's mostly what it is, but also to be the responsible person until another person is called. It is not our intention that Lauren will be ordained to this position. She has, do you want to tell them a little bit about your other life?
Sure. So when I was in seminary, I did a project where I covered my hair, arms, and legs and stopped wearing makeup for 9 months. I was inspired by Muslim women who said that it was a feminist statement. And that's not usually what you think of when you think of covered women. So I did a blog, and then I wrote an article for Salon that I did not expect to get published, and it did. And then somebody approached me and said, are you writing a book? And I went, yeah. Totally writing a book. How do I do that? So I am writing a book. It's going to be published next year, and it's about those 9 months and also about the intersections of feminism and religion and where the church is going to go in the future if it's going to stay relevant. It can't just be this bastion of conservatism that a lot of people perceive it to be and that we here know it doesn't have to be. So that's kind of my other life. And when I wrote this article for Salon, I got calls from like Good Morning America and the Today Show and stuff. So my hope is that when this book is published, I will have good work to do on behalf of the church, but it probably will not be in this parish ministry setting, at least immediately. So
she's got lots to teach you, lots to tell you, lots going on. She's more of a biblical scholar than me. She's a little worried about that more than me.
I am. I like maps. I love maps.
I think I'm excited for you. I really am. And for you, that you can have this opportunity to share yourself. So I'm not just... one of the things that Margaret asked me, she said, please, no more interims. And you have struggled with interims. I understand that. And we're going to try and make this not an easier, softer way, but a more intentional, committed, honorable way. So you know Lauren at least a little bit, and you're going to get to know more of her, but she's one of you. She can't do communion yet, though, and we are working with the conference to figure out how to do this. My hope is that they will allow me next Sunday to bless 5 loaves of bread to be used for the 5 weeks in the middle, so then she can use them. It's a little bit of an awkward process, becoming ordained. You know, you can't marry anybody, you can't, you can counsel people, but you can't do any of the, you can't wear a stole. I kind of liken it to, you. When I was a kid, my mom said you can't wear makeup or nylons until you're in 8th grade, so.
That's what my parents said.
Yeah.
I was all mad, because they were so conservative.
And I couldn't get my ears pierced, you know, stuff like that. So, it's just, it seems a little awkward, but I must tell you, when the first time comes, when you get your stole, you're blown away at what that feels like. So, any more questions?
So just to
go ahead.
Just to, because I'm just processing, trying to make clear. So you're going to be not our interim, but sort of acting in the place instead of a person we don't know coming in and
exactly.
making all these changes and stuff.
Exactly.
And then when we get a new person, then you'll step aside and that new person will take over?
Exactly. Yeah, the term is bridge pastor that we're using. So,
bridge
pastor. Bridge.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Like bridge over, yeah.
Over troubled waters.
I think she raised her hand a while back.
Lauren. I'm going to Whitewater, Wisconsin. People said to me it's cold in Wisconsin. Yeah, but I went to college in Wisconsin. I get it. It doesn't bother me. You just buy big sorrel boots and big puffy coats and you're good. Whitewater, Wisconsin, what excites me about Whitewater is there is a church with 205 members, and there is a university, the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater. It specializes in 2 areas. One is the other-abled, and one is business, but the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater just hired a brand new LGBTQ coordinator, so I will be meeting with her or him to use some of what you've taught me here and hopefully do some campus ministry stuff at the church. And there is also a UCC, it's a place for people who are 55 and older. It'll take you from independent living all the way to hospice care. And it started out as a place for UCC clergy. So I will be going to a place where there's lots of retired UCC clergy, most of whom have already told me that they don't want my job. So
all right.
I figure I've got all kinds of spiritual directors I can go to. So I think I'm going to be in good shape. I bought a house. I close on the 26th. I get there on the 25th. I close on my house on the 26th. James has already moved our stuff there. So, yeah, I have extra room. You're always welcome. Sarah. I asked Lauren if she'd do 3 months, because I didn't know when the book was coming out, and that's got to be her next priority. Already we're talking 6 months.
Six.
So
the contract that we drawn that we drew up was 6 months, so with a 3-month review period. So
that gives you an opportunity, and you've got to do some work to do, and it can't just be the 10 people that always show up. So sorry, don't mean to offend. You want this church to go forward into the future. You want this church to be the church you want it to be. Participate in the New Beginnings process. New Beginnings assessors came. They did an assessment on us. They're going to give us some suggestions about where we want to go. where we should go. None of this is news. The next part of this is going to be house groups, small house groups, making sure you're going to these groups and saying what you want, what you think, you know, what you need. And don't be afraid to stand up. I don't care if it's your first day or you've been here for 50 years. It's your church.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that then, and Lauren will be here to be the holy place holder.
I will.
The bridge pastor. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be the ones who decide what comes next.
Yeah.
Please participate. Let's not worry about that. We're not looking for a new pastor yet. We're not even looking for a pastor. We have no search committee, nothing. Mm-hmm. Lauren is going to be here for 3 to 6 months, maybe 9.
New beginnings first. The project is new beginnings, so we can figure out who we are, where we want to go, and then we can look for somebody who will lead us into where we're trying to go.
We haven't heard back from them, but yes, those. I think the date is sometime in October.
Yeah.
Lauren will make sure everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lauren and Chrissy will make sure that everyone knows this.
Yeah.
Sandy. What a good question.
That is a really good question. So so in the UCC, you don't just get ordained to be ordained. They don't just bless you and go, congratulations, you're holy enough to do ministry. There's a specific... no one's that holy. There's a specific job that you have to be ordained to do. So I have to be able to say, I want to be a parish minister. I want to be a hospital chaplain. Now, I've never felt particularly called to parish ministry as an end goal. I've done it, but it's not my end goal. I thought I wanted to be a hospital chaplain for a little while, but then this book thing happened. And so in my discernment process, I came to the body and said, I have kind of a prophetic call, but I don't see a specific spot in the church where I get to write and speak that is not parish ministry. So they're working with me to figure out, can we ordain her to write and speak or on behalf of the church or to do progressive work on behalf of the church that isn't parish ministry and isn't teaching? Now, I love to teach, but from all my friends who have PhDs, they're like, don't go do it. There's not enough positions. So, and also student loan debt is pretty crippling. So does that answer your question?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Let me just say a few things. Lauren being going to church and ministry on October 21st is to be licensed to serve this church, just this church. It doesn't apply anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't go across town and serve another church and say, I'm licensed. Mm-hmm. That is just to be your bridge pastor. Then there's another process, so that's a step aside. As far as her process towards ordination, there's all kinds of things you have to do. They don't like it us to say hoops, but hoops that we have to jump through.
It's hoops.
We have to have psych evaluations. We have to have papers. We have to have letters
background
of recommendation,
checks,
background criminal background checks. We have to have, it's a huge bunch of stuff that we need to do to become ordained. Then there has to be a call for her. I'm hoping that it comes from the national office, and I hope it's around her work. But I'm not in charge here, so I will suggest it to them, though. But I do think that Lauren has a call. We just don't have a spot for her yet. My imagination says that when we work with New Beginnings, We move forward with new beginnings. We decide what kind of church we want to be, what kind of pastor we need, who we want to call, how we want to do it. There are a variety of ways to do it. It doesn't have to be an interim necessarily. There are such things as designated. There are such things as if Lauren can be in place, if this happens quickly, you could possibly just let her be the one that's in place rather than having an interim. This is up to you. This is both the beauty and the cumbersomeness of being UCC. Nobody comes down and tells us how to do things. We're all part of the decision making. So what she's doing now is one set of things. What she has to do for ordination is a whole other set of things. Is that fairly clear?
Yeah. Flo. We can chat afterwards if you have more questions.
Yeah. Flo.
What would I like to see for this church? Ooh. Two things. That's good. I would like to see a better integration between the folks that have been here for a really long time, that have really been the pillars of the community, and the folks that are coming in. There's a real need, I think, in the younger generation for some kind of religious background, but how do we all work together generationally so that everybody's gifts gets to be used? So I would like to see that happen more. Another thing I would like to see happen. You know what? I would like for us to come up with a mission statement for this church, this particular church. What are we trying to do? What's our thing? I think we have had clear missions in the past, and we kind of don't right now. We need a rallying cry. We need a thing that we're gonna get together and do and focus on. So those are the two things that I'd really like to see happen, at least in the next 6 months. It's a great question. Thank you.
So I came into this church in the middle of the last interim
Ooh.
Period. But I've been through interims before at other churches. And my perception is that interim has a pretty specific job
mm-hmm.
to kind of shake things up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it is not my job to shake things up.
Say that again.
Yes, it is not my job to shake things up. That's not what I'm going to do. First of all, I'm only going to be here for 6 months. I'm not going to do this and then walk away.
You're going to shake things up with new beginnings.
Right. So my two goals while I'm here are to make worship really, really experiential and have it work for both generations, right? So that's my first thing. My second thing is to help us through new beginnings so that we all take responsibility for where we're going next. And we're all involved and we're all behind the same thing. So those are my two goals. I'm not going to come in and go, okay, we're going to change worship completely. Now we're going to have a band come in and play. Whoa. No, that's not what we need. So, yeah. So no etch-a-sketching and then leaving. I'm not going to do that.
And she'll probably continue to be a member here.
Yeah.
So once her bridge time is
thank you.
Is over,
thank you.
Once she travels around the country giving her book signings, hey,
Once
she's
I'm
being
famous.
Published by Little Brown. I'm sorry. She's going places. Any other questions?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you live in?
Okay. I live in Mountain View with my husband. He works in tech. We came here from Atlanta. We have four cats and two dogs. There are so many, sometimes I lose track. I have a stepdaughter named Raja who's 19. She lives in Portland with her mom, and she comes and visits us occasionally. My mom lives in Tampa. I get down to see her probably three times a year. We're pretty close. She's a very committed Presbyterian. And some people are laughing at that. That's really funny. Presbyterians. But she comes from a very progressive Presbyterian congregation, and that made a big impression on me. So yeah, that's where I live, and that's my family. Oh, my husband is a really committed Buddhist, which makes things really fun for us. He grew up, his dad was a professor of religion and sociology at Duke, Both his parents are ordained. So he's been to every First Church of anything in the entire country. So if you don't see him here, it's not because he's anti-Christian or because he's not religious. He's just really committed to a different path. So, yeah. It does. It does. It's really fun. He has a Swami and everything, and we go visit her every couple of months, and it's great. Yeah. Okay, any last questions before we wrap this up? And I'll be available afterwards if you guys want to chat or you have any more questions.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, do y'all want to see the article?
The article? Okay, Google Lauren Shields Salon, and it'll show. It's called My Year of Modesty. There's a picture of me in a headscarf.
Her blog's called The Modesty Project, right?
Modesty Experiment.
Modesty Experiment.
I just want to say, too, I'm very happy to hear this happening the way that you've been stepping. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's an honor. When you asked me, I was like, oh, wow. This is awesome.
I also have to say that the only thing I am asking both, and what I am asking is that Lauren and Chrissy work together as a team. Chrissy's not here this morning because she's off with my dogs. But so that's part of her being my team, is that they are going to be dynamite together, and do your best, I think, to support them. And one of the things I want to say is some of us boomers need to step aside. We need to pass on our knowledge and our what we know and who we are, but we have to let the young people tell us what the church is going to look like in the future. If we hold our ground too hard, that'll never happen. So, you know, God's with us in all things, and boomers think we're a lot smarter than you. So just get.
Well, you have a lot more experience than we do.
So we have to get over that. We have to step aside. So anyway, many blessings. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks.